wives talking about what could have been if I had bought that house 5 years ago, if I had taken that job I had, if I had bought that car instead of this car, and, you know, all those things. And I'm worried about what's going to happen next year. Are we going to get bombed? I was talking to a guy this morning who told me that, you know, he worries all the time about, you know, nuclear holocaust. And I said, you know, when it happens, we're not going to really know about it because it'll be over. And he said, I worry about it. I wake up at night thinking about it. What are we going to do? I don't, who knows? Who knows what we're going to do? I certainly don't. And it's just, they live there. They just live there. But Philippians 3:13, I think, is one of the things that I continually rely on to get beyond that. And it says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I really like what that says. That's applicable, maybe certainly to me, maybe for all of you. It says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. And that's what it's all about. The past is the past. It's just like yesterday. It's not coming back. And the future is not here yet. And it'll be there when we get there. I mean, then it'll be today. Anybody have any questions or comments so far? John? Oh, okay. Yeah. I heard another one while we're on quips. Yesterday's a canceled check. Tomorrow's a promissory note. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Okay, let's look at Psalm 68, verse 19. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. So, again, it says daily. It doesn't say all week. It says daily. That's one of the key things to continue to remember, that God is in our corner. God is doing things for us that we don't even see. He is helping us continually. And his pastor says, you know, if you read the end of the book, we win. If you read the end of the book, we win. So if we can keep that in mind, handling today is okay. You know, Jesus handled the cross for our sins, and one day he handled it and died for our sins. We can try to do our best handling today. So 68, oh, it's okay. Thank you. If we go just a little bit further, Matthew 6:11, it says, that's the Lord's Prayer. It says, give us this day our daily bread. It doesn't say, like in Exodus says, day by day, take your food. The Lord's Prayer says, give us our daily bread. It doesn't say, give us our monthly wages or give us our weekly wages. It says, daily, help us with these things. Let's look at a couple of biblical changes that happened in one day. And maybe you have some after I go through the couple that I have. One was that Saul was changed from a persecutor to the Apostle Paul one day. Saul was a mean guy. He was out to get all the Christians he could and persecute them in any way he could, including death. And in one day, he became the Apostle Paul, and many of the Gospels, many of the epistles in the Bible are written by Paul. And that's what God did in one day. He struck him blind, laid him there, told him what he was going to do, and that was it. Joseph went from a prisoner to the second highest person in the Egyptian Empire. in one day. With all he was through, all the things he suffered continually, all of a sudden, he's in charge of the whole empire. And because of what he went through and because of his love for God, he was able to forgive his brothers. He was able to bring them into Egypt. He was able to do all kinds of things. Esther, she was honored, given a holiday for everything that she did and prevented the Jewish people from being slaughtered. I wrote down two other things that are worldly. Not worldly, but certainly sad. On 9/11, our whole world was changed. In one day, our whole world was turned upside down. We thought after Pearl Harbor, nothing would ever happen to us. We thought we'd never get attacked. And yet, in our own country, people were trained to fly planes, and they flew them right into the Twin Towers. And that's what happened in one day. Also, February 14th, probably the mass killings in Florida of 17 kids there and people were killed. Hopefully, that slaying might be the last, hopefully. But that changed in one day. It changed the lives of obviously the 17 people were killed. And if each person has three or four family members, it changed 17 times four, plus the whole country. People had to relive that. People had to worry. There's people that probably go to every day worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. Where, you know, that's it's unfortunate. The third thing is, today will never come back. It's not coming back. Our son, Sally, will sometimes say that, I can't think of it. Why do they, want this clothing? Why do they want that? Why do they want to go here? Why do they do this? Why do they do that? And our son says, Mom, it's not going back. It's not going back. The good old days that we talk about, they're not going back. They're not going back. The soda fountain, the safety on the streets, 10 people in a car going to a party, it's not coming back. It's not happening. And we need to deal with that. We need to realize that it's today. It won't come back. It won't happen. But we need to do the best we can for today. I wrote what I looked at online had how many seconds in a day, and it said not to waste them. So I thought that was a little too much. But we do have 1,440 minutes in each day. I think Tara's back there. She can probably check if I'm right, but I think 60 times 24 is 1,440, I believe. But we have that time. It's important to us that we use that time wisely. We use it wisely. So what are some of the things that we can do? Because John had a quip, I have another one. And it is, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. And you know, this afternoon I was out doing a couple things, and I don't really like going to the gas station. I just don't like getting out of the car and being cold, and I just don't like it. And I thought, I'll go on Friday. I have enough to get me to Friday. And then I thought of this quote, and I said, no, I'm going today. So I went, and I got gas, and I felt good about it, and I didn't put it off. So I was happy about that. And I think that's something that, at least I do. I don't know about all of you. I can't, you know, I'm not you. But I'm great at putting things off. I can say I'm not going to the gym today because, you know, my leg hurts a little, or Sally doesn't feel good, or whatever, and I don't do it. So, but anyway, some of the practical things that we could do, and you can add to them, because I am going to ask you. You each have to come up at least one. I'm kidding. The first thing is quality time in God's presence. We can always spend more time with God. We can always pray more. We can always seek out more things. Quality time with friends, spouse, kids, whatever, coworkers. We can be a good employee. We can do a good job for our employer. Make someone happy. Call them, send them a card, write a letter. Here's one that I have something to say about. Not putting off a compliment or helping someone. You know, if you know someone that you appreciate, who's doing well, tell them. Don't keep it to yourself. You can make that person's day. You can tell them how much you appreciate them, and you might never know what it might do for them. A good friend of mine died it was a year ago this past September. And he was a very, very good friend. We played football together in high school. We did lots and lots of things. He was a tremendous, tremendous individual. And he got cancer, and he never recovered, and he died within about a week and a half. And when he was dying, he didn't want to see anybody. I probably could have gone over and talked to him and told him these things, but I didn't. So, in respecting his wishes, I wrote him a letter, and I told him all the things that I thought he was. Number one, he was a great person. He was helpful to everybody. He was a tremendous athlete. He never bragged about himself. He never said a word about what a great football player he was. Way back when he played, he was the lineman of the week, which was a big deal back then for the whole country. He played in the East-West football game. He played for the Marine Corps and their football team. He was the most valuable player in the armed forces. He was the captain of the Syracuse football team when he played. He was just a tremendous, tremendous athlete. But never once did he brag about his playing. You know, some people will tell you, I can catch a football all kinds of ways. I can throw a football so far. I can run fast. He never did any of that. I was at a Syracuse football game with him, and they were talking, and they said that how Ed, the game was 6-0, and he played defense, an inter-squad game, and he scored all the points. Now, when you think about it, offense usually scores. He scored 6 points, and he played defense. And they started going on about it, and he just said, that's enough. That's enough. He never talked a lot. Sometimes he would just say one thing. One of our friends, we were at a dinner, and my friend has a way of going off on tangents. Like, he'll start, I like going to New York. And then he'd tell you, well, my mother and father used to drive to New York for a cup of coffee on a Sunday night and then drive back, and they visited my aunt, and they'd stop in Bethlehem. And my friend would say to him, he said it in classic, he said, John, get to the point. He only had to say a few words, and he would say it. And it was, people got it. So I wrote him this letter, and I told him all this stuff. And I think he knew how I felt about him, but I should have told him. And unfortunately, he passed away before he read the letter. And his wife called me the morning that he died and said, I just read your letter, but Ed died before he could read it. I felt so bad. Then she called me and said, could you read Ed's letter at his funeral? And well, I didn't read it. I spoke about it. But my point is, and I said it at the funeral too, if you have somebody that needs to hear something good about themselves and you haven't done it, do it. Do it, because it can help them. It's something that I believe is very important. Don't say, I'm going to do it tomorrow. If you have that feeling, do it. Let's put up Hebrews 3:30. Wait a minute. I said I'm going to ask you if you have any things you could do daily to help you get through the day. So does anybody want to volunteer one? You know, I got to tell you, this is the awkward part of doing this because you stand up here and you think, are they getting what I'm saying or not? I think you're getting it, but I'm just going to move on. I'm going to say I gave them a chance. They didn't. Okay. You know, if Jeff Danner were here, he'd say it, but God rest his soul, and he's a wonderful, wonderful person. That's okay. I understand. I completely understand. My wife will, I get home, and she'll say, you know, why did you say that? Why did you bring that up? Why didn't you just move on? But anyway, that's who I am. But anyway, Hebrews, this is a good one. Maybe you have an answer for this. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I read that. I just found it interesting that it says, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. It's sort of, I don't know. I don't have a, it's like saying today, daily, twice. Really, in my mind. So, but anyway, it's talking again about what we're talking about. It's talking about today. And if we could do 15. No, I'm sorry. We'll get to that later. That's okay. You can put that down. Some other things you could do. Obviously, praying. I think I talked about that. Another thing that we have all around us is God's beauty. Sometimes just taking a couple minutes and looking around us and seeing what's happening. The robins are back. The birds are chirping in the morning. I read these books. They're kind of, the ending's always the same. It's by Beverly Lewis. I don't know if any of you know her. It's not exactly, you know, great journalism or anything like that. It's not real deep. It's about the Amish. She writes about the Amish. And what it does, it's always a story about their family and things, but what I like about it, it talks about how the butterflies are coming around the flowers, how the trees, how the willow trees are blowing in the wind, how the horse is going down the road, clip-clop, 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 all those things that I find very, very relaxing, very peaceful, very, very nice. So sometimes we could take a walk, we could study God's beauty, we can read a poem, read a book, read about things that the Lord has for us. He gives us all this bounty, and sometimes we maybe don't look at it. I think, you know, I try to play golf, and one of the things I've tried to do is to appreciate the beauty of a golf course. Golf courses are pretty. There's some very nice places, some very nice scenes, and golf gets me places that other people don't get to see. It gets me into woodlands. It gets me into streams. It gets me into, you know, out-of-the-way places where some people just hit it straight down and they don't see all the things I get to see. Now, okay, I have a song that I would like to ask them to play if they can. The song is by the Gaithers. I'd like you to listen to it. It's called We Have This Moment Today. And Jeff's going back there, and he's probably going to do it. So the name of the song, again, is We Have This Moment Today. Some of you may know it. You could. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, it's hard. Dave was saying how hard it is when you try not to think about the future, you do. And I think Paul says somewhere in one of the epistles, the things I shouldn't do, I do, and the things I should do, I don't. Yeah, he's human. He's very applicable for us. Years ago I had this saying that I kind of kidded with my older granddaughters, and I said, winter, its own private beauty. But I'm getting tired of it. I just added that yesterday. But my one granddaughter put it in one of her papers at school, and she said she got a higher mark because the teacher liked it.
so much.
But it is beautiful if you look at it. Even trees without leaves are beautiful. If you look at the symmetry and all that, it's beautiful. You have to look, but it's beautiful. That's okay if you don't have it. I have some words. Yes. Amen.
Tied to the sounds of the music.
Okay.
Of
here's the song. I'll get back to you. Here's the song.
Happy songs from the laughter of the children at play. Hold my hand as we run through the sweet, fragrant meadows, making memories of what was.